notion of taking short plays, which many writers write lots of, and sharing it with a lot of people was appealing. Theater's expensive. It's wonderful, but it's hard to get to. It costs a fortune. And not everyone has access to theater. Major professional theaters tend to be in large metropolitan areas. And as a result, the tickets are high. People can't take a risk. So the notion of putting theater on the radio was appealing for a lot of reasons. It reduced risk-taking altogether. It gives the plays high exposure. And it affords a listener an opportunity to experience a lot of variety at low risk. I like the idea that it's potentially national, not in the sense of a capital N big building in some city, but national in the sense that everyone in the nation can take part of it, can make theater part of their lives. And it's small-scale theater. It's not the same thing as going to live theater, of course. But it does introduce people to really the best writers, the best actors that this country has.
We're such a visual society now. Radio drama is something from decades ago, the golden age of radio. We're such a visual society. We like to see things. We like to, feel things. Theater on the air, how do you bring that about in today's society? How do you make it appealing and compelling?
Well, I think that's a good question. It is a visual society, but I also think that it works better on radio than people give it credit for. It's hard to pull off, but when you're using really the best in the business, it's a lot more exciting than you might think. These short plays are not the old-timey radio drama. There are actually stage plays that translate well to theater because they're chosen because, I mean, they translate well to radio, I beg your pardon. They're chosen because they translate well. High on narrative, high on drama, high on story, and they're short. So that the dedication to listening hard for 2 hours, which one would do in a live theater, really isn't applicable. These plays are 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and I think that they're wonderfully entertaining and that radio really hasn't had... hasn't benefited from having really great actors give their time to it. It hasn't been done in ages. So I think it's worth a shot. And I think that actors are eager to do it because they believe in the concept. They love working with other good actors. And very often, to do a play is a tremendous commitment. So if you're a Chris Cooper or a Kathleen Turner or a major star, it's hard to take 6 and 12 months out of your life to be in a play. So this gives them an opportunity to work out and to work on great material. And that's a tremendous turn-on for an artist. If you're playing tennis, you want to play with a good opponent. And by going into the studio and working on a small piece of great literature, they have an opportunity to flex muscles that they often don't find. And a lot of actors, just because of the nature of business and economics, they really have to work in TV and film. And so they welcome this opportunity, and they welcome an opportunity to share theater with a very large audience. It's an experiment. We'll see.
The first week is Milton Bradley by Peter Sagal and Goodbye Howard.
Milton Bradley is by the same Peter Sagal that hosts Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And lots of people don't know, but he started out as a playwright. He was a literary manager for a theater in California. And he's a wonderful playwright. I think, his problem is that you can't have a family and run a show and write at the same time. Maybe he says he can do 2 of the 3, but not 3 of the 3. But this is a play he wrote before Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me took off. And it's a funny play about a rabbi who is young and giving one of his first eulogies to a congregation. He arrives late, and the son of the deceased didn't like his mother much. So he, when the rabbi asks him for a little help to tell him about his mother, the rabbi is confronted with a bit of a problem and how he deals with it. Peter's brother actually is a rabbi, and I think that's where he got the idea. And it's with two actors, Bob Balaban, who is an actor, producer, writer, director. He's been in all of those Christopher Guest ensemble movies like Best in Show, A Mighty Wind. There's a whole slew of them. He's recently in Moonrise Kingdom, and he's terrific. And Michael Stolbarg is a young actor who people might have seen in Boardwalk Empire. He plays the gangster Arnold Rothstein, I think. And he's wonderful. He's also in Hugo, and he was the star in a Coen Brother film called A Serious Man. And the second play is by Romulus Linney, who is a major American writer. He wrote a lot about his early life in Appalachia. And this particular play is a comedy. Not too many of his plays are, really, but it's a fabulously funny piece about three elderly ladies and their sick brother. And the elderly ladies are extraordinary, really luminaries of the stage. Lois Smith, who was a very big actress with Steppenwolf in Chicago, she won the Tony for Grapes of Wrath. She was in East of Eden with James Dean. Dana Ivey, who's a five-time Tony Award nominee. Frances Sternhagen, who's been on TV a lot, but she's a major theater actress. So it's phenomenal that we can attract this quality of actor and this quality of play, but I think it's because the theater community really believes in this concept and is eager to share their work with everybody.